ready for the word? All right, the front row almost knocked me over. And Dr. Sam, thank you for that rush coming over here. Let me come back and see over here. Ebony, let me see if you got some people with you now. You was on fire for a minute. Is anybody on this side ready for the word? All right, I felt the rush coming at me today. Praise God. So it's so good to see you. Amen. We thank God for his love today. And I just want to prepare you. You know, this is resurrection season. And I'm really not interested in preaching an Easter message. I preach messages of life, of resurrection. And so as we enter into that, I want to remind you on Friday, March the 30th, we're going to have our Good Friday service. We're just going to worship God and we're going to reflect on the goodness of God. Amen. And we're going to go into Sunday morning praising God and giving God glory and honor. And we're going to be blessed, of course, as we are every year by our children. And God's going to release the word and we're going to have a great time in God's presence. Amen. So I just want you to mark your calendars for that. You guys have bulletins, but, you know, coming. Say with me, coming. May 10th. Shout that, May 10th. All right. Say KSS. As Kingdom Strategies of Success. God has allowed me to release some things in our lives that he told me to share. And some things that God is doing and has done. And as those that don't know, I'm a life coach, and I coach people all around the world, and there's been some things that God has been doing in people's lives, and God said I could share it with you, amen? And so I'm only going to do it once a month, and I don't know how long. It might be just 2 months. I don't know, but if you're interested, I want you to sign up at the information booth. If you hold tight, you can sign up on Eventbrite as well. How many are interested in success? Amen. I'm not just talking success. I mean in your career. How many want a better career? Right? Better life. You want a better investments. You want to see, you know, how you can grow and be blessed even as you are saved, right? And so I want to invite you to this here. And as me understand, I've spent years and thousands of dollars, and I'm willing to share it with you. Amen? And I'm going to show you what success really is and how you can be successful. And this is not no gimmick. I don't believe in that gimmick stuff. I believe in opening up that book of life called the Bible and showing you that your whole life is contained in the Bible, not just spiritually. You don't just open up your Bible on Sunday, but I can turn to my Bible and I can have a blessed career. Amen. Amen. Amen, someone. Amen. Before I became a full-time pastor, I worked for a Christian company. Yes. Amen. And there were certain things that did not happen in a Christian company that I was glad. I was like, man, praise God. There's certain business practices and principles we didn't do, and we were very, very, very extremely successful. Amen. Praise God. And so you can have careers. You can have blessed marriage. How many want blessed marriages and blessed children? Amen. That's part of your success in life. And so it is not just spiritually. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be successful spiritually, but even to your ministry. Maybe God has birthed ministry inside of you. Well, for some of you, it could be time now to activate some certain things. I've been hearing a buzz over the last couple of years. Some of you trying to author books. Talk to me. Amen, someone. We've published 5 books here at Faith Walk, and so we can publish hundreds of more. But again, it's about connecting the scriptures to where you're trying to go and watch yourself become successful. Amen. And so again, I'm only going to do it once a month, and we're going to start on May 10th. And it's activation time. It's time to see this church and the people of God really grow. So be on the lookout for it. You can sign up for it today at the information booth, or you can go on Eventbrite. It's going to be there as well. But just be ready because God is doing great things. And how many of you know we're on our way? Amen. There's so many doors open right now that I need people to walk through them. Oh, my, you didn't hear that. So I have so many doors open right now in our life and in this house. I just need people now to walk through them. Amen. And so I want to raise up the people in this house connected to this house to walk through those doors. I'm not sending the world through those doors. I want to send the church through those doors. And so give me the opportunity to sow into you if you are so inclined. And it's going to be awesome. I already know. So just make sure that you get ready for this May 10th. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Someone shout, I'm ready for the word. Yes. You know, the most important thing in my life is the word of God. And I love to praise God. I love to sow into God's kingdom. And I love to dance before the Lord. But what I love the most is the word of God. I rise every day in the word of God. I go to bed every night in the word of God. I ask God to show me a word over everything of my life. Lord, I want to walk exactly what your word says. And how many know sometimes you don't find it right away? Sometimes I got to say, God, there has to be a word for that. If you put it in my heart, there has to be. And I'm going to look. I'm going to find. If I got to go into the weak chapters of the minor prophets to find that word, I mean, how many know what I'm talking about? I'm going to find it hidden somewhere in Zephaniah. I'm going to find it somewhere. And it's not always obvious in the book of Proverbs or Psalms. Sometimes you got to go on those books you never really read. And you're going to discover God has hidden for you what you took the time to find. And so I want to just bless you today with the word of God. And children, you guys are in service today, so I hope you love me later. And you'll be back in class next week. We give our teachers a rest once a month. So, Father, we thank you for this ecclesia, Lord God. Thank you, Father, for the beauty of holiness, the excitement of the praise, of worship, of giving. And, Lord, I thank you now for the time of the word. Lord, it is your word time. It is time that we hear from your heart concerning our lives. And so, Lord, I want to talk to your people today and encourage them. I want to encourage them to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might, putting on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against all the wiles of the enemy. And so, God, I thank you today that this church, this house is standing strong, standing tall, standing out, the light that sits upon a hill that cannot be hid. Lord, let your word be that beaming light today that causes us to sit in high places. And God, we just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will, go with me back to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, verse 14. Hallelujah. You don't got to get so quiet on me. I love to hear them pages turning. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 14. We were here last week and we're going to finish here today. Paul starts out with these words. He says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Last verse, number 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Say amen for the word. Amen. You know, I've been talking about this for the last several weeks, and we come to the conclusion of the pinnacle of warring a good warfare. And I want to conclude in this manner here, as we started on last week talking about part of the armor. And as I told you before, I wasn't inclined by the Spirit of God to go in the order that Paul brings it in chapter 14 through 18. God gave me an order that he showed me how to present it to this house. And so the three most important aspects that he talked about last week, the number one thing was salvation. Someone shout with me, my mind.
My mind.
Come on, say it again, my mind. So we started with the helmet of salvation on last week, and then we went to the breastplate of righteousness. Someone shout righteousness.
Righteousness.
All right, and so and then we talked about the shield of faith. And so what the Lord began to show me, the most three important aspects of your life when you begin every day of your life, to make sure your mind is intact. Amen, right? Your mind. You don't know, as I said last week, the works that went on in the heavenlies to try to destroy your mind while you slept last night. And so your mind, waking up with a sound mind is important. Confessing over your life, "I have the mind of Christ," is an important thing. You don't just confess it because the Bible says, you confess it because it's real and it's life. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are," someone shout life.
Life.
All right, and so when you wake up, you got to tell yourself, "I have a sound mind." There's no dysfunctional mind here, no dysfunctional family. I'm not bipolar. I don't have these diseases. Aren't you tired of the world trying to place diseases on what Jesus already healed? They're trying to get a name and give a name to a problem that Jesus conquered at cross. If you want to give it a name, give it healed. You want to give it a name, you know what? They've been diagnosed with healing. I never heard a doctor say that before. Well, you just heard the first doctor tell you, "I diagnose your case today with healing. I'm going to write you a prescription in the word of God today. And I'm going to ask you to go and take it to any store because they're going to cash it in. And they're going to say, listen, what are you looking for? How many? Take it every day. With water or without water. with food or without food. It doesn't matter. Because it's going to work whether you eat or not. And so you've been diagnosed with healing today. And I wake up every day with my mindset that I'm going to succeed. I'm not going to fail. I'm going to mess some of your minds up. I tell God every day, I'm going to live perfect today. Thank you, Brother Franklin. You know, you're that perfect. Don't tell me what I'm not. I can do all things through Christ. And so I tell myself, you know, I'm going to live perfect today. Because I know if I fall, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sins. And cleanse. So you can confess that. But then the second thing is your heart. Save my heart. That's why that breastplate of righteousness, it covers your heart. That vital organ in your body that pumps all the blood into the rest of the areas of your body, you've got to cover that. And so when I wake up in the morning, I not only tell my mind that it's right, but I also tell my heart, heart, you're not broken. Heart, you're not hurt. Listen to me very carefully. Heart, you're not holding on to grudges. Heart, you're not holding on to bitterness. Heart, you're not holding on to unforgiveness. All these things causes heart attacks. You look at natural heart attacks, but every time you hold on to unforgiveness and bitterness and anger, you are actually having a spiritual heart attack. God is trying to heal your heart, and you are attacking it with bitterness and anger and letting it, and therefore it's causing a heart attack. And you know what happened to heart attacks, right? These quadruple bypass surgeries, opening up arteries just to get blood to pump again. And I hear the Lord saying, would you open up your heart so the blood of Jesus can pump again? Would you just open up your heart and let the blood of Jesus go forth into those vital organs? God knows where you were hurt. He knows the wounds, doesn't he? And God says, you can be healed again. And so that's why the heart. But then what brings those three things together? As I talked about, the sword, not the sword of the spirit, but the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness is your shield of faith. You understand what I'm saying today? Because once you make up in your mind and your heart that you're going to go on and have a great day, you got to have faith. Faith is not just something we scream in church and go home and just or live anyway. Faith says, if I don't see it, I'm going to believe it. Faith says, I don't have to smell it. I don't know about you. I don't have to smell food to know that I'm getting something to eat. And so your mind and your heart are covered. And soon as you walk out those doors, your faith is going to be on trial. I'm going to say this again, and I've said it before, and it bears repeating here, is that you cannot evade faith no matter how gifted, no matter how anointed, no matter how prophetic, apostolic, evangelistic you get. You can never evade faith. Faith you need in order to live and to be effective in this earth. I want someone that's going to preach and teach and prophesy and release evangelic word to me out of faith. I want someone that believes God and have seen the hand of God move in their life. And so say this with me. I begin every day in victory. And I finish my day in victory. You got to declare that by faith. That's why when it comes to warfare, it's not, again, about you standing up yelling and screaming at the devil. Over and over again, I keep telling you, the devil loves noise. He can hide when you're noisy. Come on, he can maneuver when you're noisy. So you got to learn, I'm not going to yell at you, devil, no more. I'm not going to go on berserk and Christian antics and all that. I am going to wake up with my mind sound and my heart sure that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And by faith, I'm going to live this thing out. Amen. Does that make sense so far? So I want to share a couple quotes with you. I'm going to go into the word today. The next thing here, William Law wrote this here. He said, we must alter our lives in order to alter our hearts. For it is impossible to live one way and pray another. You're praying one way and living another way, you got to alter your heart. The enemy is after your heart. He wants you to have a heart attack. Here's another good quote by T.W. Hunt. I love this one here. He says this here, Satan knows that if he can get our attention for 5 seconds, he may have our mind for 5 minutes. 5 seconds can turn into 5 minutes. 10 seconds can turn into 10 minutes. 20 seconds can turn into 20 minutes. A whole day could turn into a whole year. A year could turn into a potential lifetime. Don't give Satan your mind. Don't give him no attention. Amen? Don't give him, if hell breaks loose, give God praise. I mean, if stuff start falling apart in your life left and right, give God praise. I'll declare you rise up and say, you know what? In everything, I will give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. I want to dare someone today, actually challenge someone today to rise up and to give God thanks. Even if hell hates you, even if there's been disastrous things around you and every hell thing is broken loose in your life, you need to rise up and say, I will give God thanks anyway. Yes. That's the word in everything, not when it's good. Not just when it fits your calendar and fits your life, but in everything the Bible says, give thanks. And when you're giving thanks, you're giving thanks with an expectation that although it looks one way, God done worked it out the right way. Amen? And so that brings me to where you are today. If I've got my mind right and my heart right and I got my faith, it's time to take a walk. Tell your neighbor it's time to take a walk. Now, how are you going to walk somewhere without the right shoes on? See, once your mind is right and your heart is right and you got the faith, you don't just sit down. You want to now exercise it. So God said, I'm going to give you peaceful shoes. Shoes that are prepared to preach the gospel of peace. How many know that God gives us shoes prepared to preach his gospel? Now, Paul calls this weapon shoes of the gospel of peace. Right? You're shod with the preparation to preach the gospel. So let me give you a definition of peace real quick here. Peace is the joining or complete wholeness of God. How many of you go to bed at night joined and completely whole in God? Amen. Therefore, I wake up joined and completely whole in God. And so when I have the peace of God, it's telling me that I'm prepared now to preach the gospel. I can't preach the gospel if I'm not in peace. Oh, wow. We just got quiet on that. The gospel is good news. The gospel is good news about Jesus bringing peace in the earth. All right, let me go on here. I'm going to go a little further here. And so the good news is that God said, I've made you complete in me. You have peace in me. And so peace says I'm whole. Peace says I'm joined together with God. Peace says that I have everything. This is how God looks at it. You got it together. Now, don't get me wrong. We all need improvement in our life. But from the spirit side of the mind of Christ, you got it together. I'm encouraging someone today. I'm not trying to be emotional today. I'm trying to teach this thing today. In the eyes of God, spiritually, you have everything together. It's your natural, it's your mind, that natural life that you try to bring some order into chaos. But in the eyes of the Spirit, you are complete. Your spirit cannot get any more better or right than it is right now. You, if your spirit was filled with the Spirit of God, you and I, we have the same spirit. I'm not better than you. We are right in the spirit with God. And so here is getting in your mind, when I have peace with God, I am completely accepted in Jesus. I don't have to put on airs to make anyone accept me. Now, here, what I want to do is talk about this peace for a minute here. You have shoes that are prepared to preach the gospel of peace. And what the Lord began to show me is that when you have on the right shoes, you can't push me over if you try. Amen. When you have on the right shoes, it's like this here. Go with me to Philippians 4 and 7 here, because God said that you've got the peace that passeth all understanding. God said, I've given you that kind of peace that the world doesn't understand, how you can be balanced, how you can still be steadfast, how you can still not move and not bend, not bow. After everything you done went through in life, you are still have a solid ground. The Bible says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Look at that. You see how your peace works with your mind and your heart? When you have the peace of God, you have a balanced life. You are stable, and you are not pushed over. See, you think that, you know, well, no, I can't push you over if you got the peace of God. Amen. You might bend, but you're not going to break. You're not going to be moved. And so, according to Paul in Philippians 4 and 7, God gives us peace that people don't understand. I don't have to explain to you while I have joy and you're upset. Well, don't you see what's going on in the world today? Well, God is still God. He's still greater than all that stuff. Yes. And so how can you not think about that? Of course I think about it, but I don't let that stuff detour me from my peace in God. If things leave, if things fall apart, if people forsake you, I'm still not going to forsake God. I'm planted in him. I have the peace of God. And so let me bless you real quick here because I got a little bit to go here. The Roman soldiers, if you're looking at that picture, you can put it back up if you like, if it accurately displays the Roman shoes. And then these shoes are actually two parts what they wore and two parts of the real Roman soldier. The first part of it was called the greave. And the greave was actually covered the lower knee all the way down to the top of the foot. Amen, someone. And what does that mean here? That grieve here. Have you ever been kicked in the shin before? Man, that hurts. Have you ever had shin splints before? That stuff hurts. And so do you understand that? Oh, man, I feel good. Can I come down here just 1 second? I come back up just for a minute. Have you ever noticed that when you look down, there's always little things trying to kick and nip at you and gnaw at you? Them little dogs that always try to come at your ankles and that. See, the devil is nothing but a snake and a serpent, and he's trying to kick you in the shin. He's trying to do something to get you to bend down so he can knock you over. That's why you have to have on the greave. That's part of your shoes. Those shoes now cover that when the enemy comes in and wants to get a sneak kick at you, he kicks a metal piece and hurts his foot. Come on, someone. Anyone been kicked before? Yeah, and someone kicked you in the shin. If you ever played soccer, you know that really hurts. I mean, you could break someone's leg with that. And so when the devil throws that kick at you, you've got on your greave. That's part of your shoes. That lets you know that you can go through any type of climate. And even if you kick, see, when you walk through the woods and stuff, you may can see laterally, but you can't see down below. Those surprise attacks that want to trip you up here now, you're covered with the greaves here. And so therefore, when the kick comes, they say, ouch, ouch, what? I didn't feel nothing. But then there was the shoe part, which was made of metal, top and bottom. And what I love about the actual shoe that fit over the foot was that they had spikes about at least over an inch long. Come on, someone. Are you with me today? Which means is when they stood, they were planted. Let me come over here. When they went to war, you might come at them, but I'm not moving because I'm planted. Send the war. Send the problem. Send this stuff at me. I'm still not going to bow because I'm planted. And so when they push, you got a grip. You know, when you get a stance like that, I've got grip now. I'm gritted and I'm grounded in the word. And so when the enemy begins to push and shove, how come you're not moving? Because I've got my spikes in the ground. I'm like that Psalm chapter 1 tree that's planted by the rivers of water. My deeps go, oh my God, I feel this now. My roots are so deep into the ground that even the wind that blows still can't cause me to move. And so Jesus says, you've got shoes prepared to preach the gospel, and when things come at you, you still won't move. Why? You're not meant to stand. You're meant to go at the enemy. And when you go at him, you don't have to run. When I get to that point, I'm standing right here and I'm not retreating. I'm taking authority over what he's trying to do in my life. And so here you got to be prepared that you're not going to be moved when the winds come at you. Amen. Parable in Jesus' day was when the wind came and the storm came on the boat. Jesus was not moved by their emotions. Jesus woke up and said, why did you wake me up? Why did you wake me up? You see, I preached all day, healed and delivered and did all that, and you can't even handle the storm. What are you talking about, Apostle? Everybody. Jesus said, listen, you saw me lay hands on the sick. You saw me raise the dead. You saw the blinded eyes open. You saw the lame walk and the dumb talk. Don't you realize that the sea and that storm is not greater than what I did? Jesus showed you that in the spirit realm, he had on the right shoes, that he wasn't going to be moved even by the storm. And so Jesus said, I'm planted. And I'm, you know what? As a matter of fact, let me show you again, peace. You didn't hear what I just said, did you? Jesus turned and he said, peace. And you got shoes prepared to preach the gospel of what? Peace. Jesus said, peace, be still. So you wonder now, I woke up in my right mind and my right heart. I got my faith and I'm walking. What's next? Well, to show you that I'm not going to be moved, I've got what's called a prayer life. I'm just easing my way into this thing today. How many of you have a prayer life? Amen. Thank you, sir. Well, let me read my scripture on prayer here in verse number 18 in Ephesians. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and there, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul says, praying how long?
All day.
Come on, someone shout always. He says praying always, but he says with all prayer and supplication, which tells me that there's more than just one kind of prayer. Oh, man, when we get past our prayers of desperation or our prayers of God, what can you do for me? Or God, can you heal me? Or God, can you fix this? Or God, can you give me this? Or God, can you open this up? Or God, can you touch them? Or God, can you fix them? Or God, can you let them see? God, when are you ever going to say, God, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. God, it's me that need my heart right. It's me that need a check. It's me that need a fixing. It's me, God, that I want to be right with you. So, God, talk to me about me today. Not about someone else. And so this prayer thing here, Paul doesn't actually give it a natural name, but it's one of the vital parts of your armor. And I'm going to talk about prayer just for a few minutes here, because I'm going to give you a definition of prayer, because this is what the Lord gave me here. Prayer actually is an exchange of words between two parties. Where's your exchange? Are you giving and not receiving? Are you putting out there and not receiving back? Prayer is an exchange of words. It's an exchange of dialogue. It's not just you coming and taking your garbage from all the week and dumping it at the throne of God and say, God, I need help. And you take this and you throw it away in the dumpster and we leave. God says, no, 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 that's not prayer. Prayer is coming to me and listening to me too. I'll receive your garbage, but after I get your garbage, let me tell you how you first got the garbage. Let me show you who brought the garbage to your life. Let me show you how not to be that one that received that same garbage again. And so I'm not just coming to God and say, God, I need God. Here it is. God, can you do God? No, God, I want to know what is your will for my life. That's why Paul says praying with all kinds of prayers and supplications. Aren't you tired of people praying, God, work on them? Lord, I pray that you show the apostle. No, show you first. No, seriously, God touched them. No, ask God to touch you first. Because as far as I'm concerned, it's the matter of your heart. Where is your heart? Where is your motive? What is your intent? What are you trying to achieve through this? Is it for you or is it for the kingdom of God? Prayer means an exchange between people. A dialogue. What did you say to God today? Did anyone pray today? Did God talk back to you, or did you give him a chance to talk back? Or did you say, God, thank you. I'm going to church today. Give me strength. Give God bless me this, bless me this. Amen. And God was like, you know how someone getting ready to talk and they can't get a word in? So God just finally said, okay, when you finish and when you hit that brick wall, I'll be standing right here. When you get to that problem that you can't solve no longer, I was here before you got in, and I'm here after you in. And most importantly, I'm going to bring you out if you listen to me. And so God said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Why praying when things get rough? Why would you stop listening to God? See, don't you know that God knows how to get you out of what you're in?
Yeah.
But you got to give God the opportunity to show you how you first got in first. We just want to get out of something before God shows us, just like a child. Well, I don't want you to whip me first. Let me show you what you did wrong. Well, I'm sorry. Sorry for what? What did you do? How did it affect the other person? How did you feel after you did it? Did you go and apologize to them? Did you go and get it right? But no, the Christian says, well, God, you need to go and touch their heart and you need to deliver them. And God said, but did you go to them and ask forgiveness? Prayer. Someone shout prayer. Paul says, pray with all kinds of prayer. And I want to just release this word to someone today, is that if you are a real prayer warrior, if you're an intercessor, if you are of the intercession type, then you need to understand the art of multidimensional praying. You can't just pray in one realm and stay in one realm. You got to be diversified in your prayer life. You got to understand that there are times when you're going to need certain kinds of prayer. I don't need you praying for peace when I'm here in war. I don't need you praying for healing if we need prosperity. I need you on the line of what God is doing right now. And so what the Lord began to show me through this here, he said, be current, be relevant, and be up to date in your prayers. He said, you need to download the latest. Come on, someone. Download the latest update of your prayer life, because you might be praying outdated prayers that God handled 10 years ago, or you could be praying against the grain. We're on operating system number 12, and you haven't upgraded to the first version yet of prayer, and you're asking God to do something that he did 20 years ago. I'm going to really mess up Christianity in a good way today, because you're asking God to heal you of something he did 2,000 years ago. I'm going to stay right down here now. You got to have multidimensional prayers in your life where you know that I am praying with an up-to-date, current version of prayer. I'm not praying prayers of consecration when I need prayers of intercession. I'm not supplicating if I need to be thanksgiving. Come on, someone. I'm not crying if I need to be up praising God. There are times when you're going to moan and you're going to go in intercession and pray in the Spirit, but then there are times when you can rise up and you can pray in the Holy Ghost with power. Is your prayers up to date? Do you have the latest version? When's the last time you updated your phone? Sometimes, man, we look, update, 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 update. But God said, as quick as you press that button on your phone, would you dial into the realm of prayer and update your prayer life? I got you today, right? Someone shout update. Why wouldn't we update our prayer life? Realize that you could be praying something that God said, I saw for you 10 years ago. You're interceding and you're asking God to change, but God said, I already took care of that 10 years ago. And so what does an updated, consecrated type prayer life look like? Well, there are different types of prayers that goes on. And Paul said, we are instructed to pray and not lose heart. And so I want to talk to you about a weapon that the soldier carries that represents prayer. And someone say with me, it's called a lance. The Roman soldiers carried a lance, and that was that long wooden handled piece that was, you know, taller than them. It came in different sizes, but it had a sharp metal tip. And they carried this lance, and I'm coming somewhere with this. There could be long lances, and there could be short lances. There could be long prayers, there could be short prayers. But what's important is that soldier carried the lance. And when they went out to battle, if they had that long lance, they could see. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. They could see their enemy afar away, and they could throw that sharp lance at that person and nail them right in the heart before they even get there. Your prayers can go in and land at the heart of the enemy. And when you show up, it's your wonder why your enemy's dead. I'm going to say that again. It's no wonder why you wake up sometimes and everything was solved and done. It's because you prayed the night before and you threw your lance in the spirit and it landed at the heart of that problem and it destroyed that sickness. It destroyed that confusion. It destroyed that pain. It destroyed that headache. And when you got up to check yourself, you found out you was healed. Anybody remember the javelin? Your prayers become like a javelin, but you're not just throwing it just to get distance. You're aiming it at a target. That devil, I don't even need to show up today to confront you. I'm going to send a prayer out that's going to knock you out. Isn't that beautiful how your prayers can cause the enemy to die even before you show up to the battle? You show up and how come the devil is dead already? It's because of your lance. And your lances, again, become, they're either short or they're tall. And see, there's something about prayer life. What I look at is that even in your prayer life can be those long prayers. Like some people think, well, I got to pray all day. Okay, it'd be just a simple word. Jesus. There's something about the name Jesus. That my simple prayer could be Jesus. And you think you got to pray an hour to get through to God, but God said, just release my name. Javelin my name. Go ahead and herald my name out there. Go ahead and take me and throw me out there. And I promise you, I will not miss. Because I'm your lance. I'm your prayer. And so when you look at the word lance now, you see that these soldiers with that sharp iron, they threw that. They had to be strong. So if I'm going to hit someone right now, I could throw that lance and it could hit them right where they are and it could knock them dead. That's your prayer life saying, sometimes I don't even need to spend the time on you. I'm going to pray about it. And when I get up the next day, God has already worked it out. How many ever felt that before? Many times you've gone to bed feeling lousy. Yes. Come on. Feeling like you just been hit by a truck. Yes. But you lie down in the peace of God. Yes. In the mind of God. Yes. In the righteousness of God. Yes. And by faith you say a prayer and you let God talk to you and you wake up the next day and God done released your javelin. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Or let me go into your own house a little further. You dealing with a person who is disgruntled or angry, and you wake up the next day and they say, honey, I love you. Yeah. You didn't have to fight with them. You didn't have to throw blows with them. You didn't have to go word to word to word at them. You just simply prayed for them, and you released the javelin not to hurt them, but to heal them of their own wound. And when they woke up, everything was all right. You believe that today? Yeah. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering. You believe that? So I want you to release your prayers every day as like a javelin, like a lance. And don't feel like you got to release a long, long 3-hour prayer. Well, I got to pray 3 hours before. Yeah, don't be late for work. God still wants you to obey your boss. If you get up on time, if you got to be at work at 7 o'clock, get up at 5 o'clock. Spend time with God. Release your javelin. I promise you today, if you can believe one word I'm telling you right now, if you release your javelin in the morning time, by the time you get to work, the things that you're about to face is already worked out. Yes. Amen. Amen. So it brings me to my next piece, the sixth piece called the Word of God. Paul calls this weapon the sword of the Spirit. Why is this important, the sword of the Spirit? I'm glad you asked. In verse 17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Someone shout, which is the word of God. Paul calls this weapon the word of God, a sword. And I love how he used the word sword here. How many ever heard the word rhema before? And we've talked about the word rhema many times, but do you understand? And sometimes we look at rhema and logos and different things. Well, here the word is rhema, and it's still every rhema. Please get this today. Every rhema is a logos first, because every rhema is written. You don't think that God is going to rewrite the Bible and give you some word that he has not already spoken. The difference between rhema and logos, remember, they're both logos. They're both written. The difference is that God will cause a word from his word to rise up for something specific. You might be in the middle of something now, and you don't need to read the whole book of Genesis. You just need one word. You follow what I'm saying? But notice this here, that the rhema still is the written word of God. It's the logos of God, but yet it becomes a logos now turned into rhema that's designed to fit your specific need. I'm talking to someone today that God actually has a word for someone today to fit their specific need. That's why I love the Bible, because the Bible fits all. He has a word that is tailor-made, that is designed to fit every need of a man or woman of God's life. And so here is this sword, and the sword that God releases, he releases these swords. And I'm going to tell you this in a way you understand. He releases swords like that rhema word. Sometimes you're in tight spaces, then there's a rhema. Sometimes you're in a close encounter situation and God releases a rhema. And I don't know about you, but I've been in some close shave situations and different things. And I say, God, I just need one word from you, Lord God. I need you to speak. I need you to silence these attacks. I don't need to go in and play the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation. I need a specific word where I am right now. How many of you know you need a word for your right now? There is a word. Say this with me. There is a word for me right now. Say it again. There is a word for me right now. Now, I want to let you know something, that rhema comes in different shapes and sizes. Come on, someone. Sometimes you think, no. See, if you look at the Bible, sometimes what you're reading was birthed out of good times, out of bad times. Sometimes it was birthed out of prisons. Sometimes it was birthed on mountaintops. And so Ramas can come. See, I love the words that come out of hard situations. When Paul and Silas were locked up at midnight, see, that became a Rhema for me because their hardship produced a Rhema in my life. See, someone else's hardship produces a victory in your life. God releases a rhema from that word. And so here you have now a rhema coming, different sizes, different shapes. It comes from different circumstances. But what is so important about this here is that sometimes they came from mountaintops. Sometimes they came from lion's dens. But wherever it came from, it was for right now. Now, what is that important for? Well, look at the Roman soldier. He carried a sword. And Paul chooses one sword out of maybe possibly five or six different swords that a Roman soldier could carry. Are you still with me today? He chose one sword to define the type of sword that we should have. And it's called the Makata. The Makata was actually the most deadliest of swords that a Roman soldier could carry. So Paul said, I am choosing the most deadly weapon to do the most damage to your enemy. Come on, someone. I'm not going to choose a sword that's going to allow him to get up the next day. No, this sword is designed to go in and rip the guts out of the enemy. Yeah. You know what's good about the Makata? It had two edges. It wasn't just a single-edged sword, which went in and cut one way. It cut on both sides. And what was even more gross about it, if you can realize this, the tip of it was pointed up. So when I get it in you like that, I'm coming under you, and I twist it, and I bring your guts out. That's a Roman soldier. They wanted to come in you and gut you. Anyone ever gutted a pig before? You've never seen it done before. I'll show you a picture. I'll bring you a picture. My grandfather gutted one right there. Hung that thing up, get this knife, cut it right open, and I saw grandma go in and get the chitlins and clean them. You think I'm funny, but I got a picture of it. You think I'm joking. I'm an old man. I would have fell out just like you're saying right now. But we got a picture of it showing. And 10 kids would eat some chitlins later. Think about what God's word does. It goes into the guts of the problem. It goes into the very guts of that situation. And it's not just going in for you to put a Band-Aid on top of it. It's saying, and when I come out of you, that thing ain't going to live anymore. That problem's not going to survive anymore because I'm using the Makata and I'm going in and I'm going to gut it out and it's not going to live. Aren't you tired of dealing with stuff and then come back the next day and it's still alive? Paul said you've got a weapon called the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When you use the word of God and you speak the word of God, you see, don't you know that the centurion said, speak the word only? How many need just a word from God? I don't need a lot of words. I just need the right word spoken. See, what I found out was if Jesus needed a word, don't you think you're going to need a word? Jesus was in the wilderness and Satan tempted him. And Jesus didn't say, well, let me look up my thesaurus or my dictionary. Jesus said, it is written. That's a rhema. If Jesus needed a rhema, don't you think you're going to need a rhema too? How many ever been in the wilderness before? Raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, get ready because it's coming. Come on, someone. When you get in your wilderness, you don't get out by just hearing the word of God. You get out by speaking the word of God. You get out by releasing a rhema word of God. See, you can play the Bible in your ears all you want, but until you start speaking it, you just, no. The real test is when you're in the wilderness and what comes out of you is not a curse word, but the word of God. The real test of the Makata is when you are backed up against the wall. You don't come out trying to call your boys to fight. Let me mess around now. You don't scream discrimination. You say, no, what does the word of God say? Yeah. So when you at that point, see, sometimes you get to those points and God said, how much word is really in you? Oh, I'm coming somewhere with this rhema thing. You look at that. Well, he's a man of God, a woman of God. I know a real man or woman of God by the test they go through. Oh, yeah. I know a real woman of God and a man of God by how they conquer stuff to come at them. You don't go in and hide and talk about folk. You don't go in and give up and stop serving. You don't sit down and stop praying. You speak the word of God. You say, God, I know there's a word for my situation, and I'm not going to move until you release a rhema for me right now. Rhema says live and not die. Rhema says you can get over this, you can get through this, you can get past this, you can go on, you can get by this if you just wait on the Lord. Jesus needed a word. Do you understand that if Jesus needed a word, we need a word too? Hello, someone. Jesus needed a word from God. And the biggest thing Satan was trying to fight was his human emotions, his natural physical feeling. But even when you're tired, even when you're sick, even when you're at a point where you're ready to give up and you want to die, you still can ask, God, give me a word. Anyone ever been in the hospital before? I said, God, give me a word. I'm not going to tell the doctors to get out. You get out and do your job. Come in, do your job. Do whatever. But I also got a word. And I remember when I was in the hospital, I was quoting that scripture under my breath. The doctor looking at me, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastised and rod peas were upon me. And with his stripes, I am healed. I am healed. I am healed. Ooh, that hurt. I am healed. I am healed. You find out what I'm saying here? You got a rhema for the right situation. I wasn't quoting, you would prosper. I'm prospering right now. I wasn't praying that prayer. I was saying, I am healed. Let me go here. Wow. Do you know that God holds this whole thing together by his word? Do you know everything operates according to his counsel? You are standing today because of his word. You are actually breathing today because of his word. Your life is because of his word. Your family is because of his word. Your money is because of his word. Your choice, everything you have is because of his word. If he took his word away, where would you be? Well, let's go to this last one here. And it's called the truth. Come on, someone shout with me, the truth. How many want to know the truth today? See, we're about to end this at verse 14 where it says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. I don't know about you, but I don't build my life on lies. Neither do I associate with liars. You didn't hear that. You know, I hear that. I don't build my life on lies. Neither do I associate with liars. Liars will cause you to live a lie with them. The Bible says all liars will have their part of the lake of fire. And so I don't want to burn in that lake of fire because I'm hanging around a liar and their liars become my life lived. I want to live a life of truth. Therefore, I need my belt of truth. Yes. I can't take it off. My microphone will fall off. But this is a belt. Take it off. And in our generation, you know when kids aren't wearing a belt. Because nothing's held together. You know, it is what it is, but if a child with their pants sagging got into a fight, you an easy knockout. First of all, you can't run. You got one hand, because you're holding up one, run with the other. It's like, man, if you really got into a fight, you are no match. Spiritually, if you don't have a belt, you really are no match for the devil because you got nothing holding your stuff together. Hold on. You doing all that and we could have done rope-a-doped you. It's funny, isn't it? But in the spiritual, when you don't have a belt on, you got nothing to hold your stuff together. All the folks know your business. I'm talking about it now. Everybody now knows you. You exposed because all your stuff is out in the open. One thing I've learned about the belt of truth here, Paul calls this weapon the loin belt or belt of truth. Your loins are your reproductive organs.
Oh, my God. Do you understand that the enemy wants to cut off your ability to reproduce? God has said that I've given you truth so that you can reproduce truth. If you don't have truth, you can't produce nothing but a lie. And a lie cannot stand in the courts of heaven. And so I need truth. Truth always crushed to the ground is going to rise again. This is why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You put me in the ground, I'll rise again. Tell your neighbor, wake up. He almost finished. The truth crushed to the ground. Jesus went into the ground. But Jesus went, watch this. Jesus went into the ground, truth. Yes. You didn't hear me today. I don't care what they said about your life. If they got you where they got their foot on you, you go rise again. Yes. Jesus did, you will too. Yes. I don't care if they put the stone over the tomb. And they got the biggest soldiers that are guarding the stone. Those soldiers become like ants in the eyes of God. And so what happens is now when the belt of truth is in operation, you got truth on your side. I'm going to talk about this for a minute because I'm getting excited here. This is why, you know, what's in your heart matters. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And so I want to talk to you for a moment here about this Roman soldier here. The Roman soldier wore a belt. And that belt held everything else in place. Are you with me today? I want to show you how important it is before we pray with you here. But when you look at a person today, you might see a person, but you really don't see my belt, do you? No, you don't. But without it, I become unfit. Who has a belt on today? Stand up if you have a belt on. The majority of you, I can't see the belt you're wearing. But it's still holding you up, isn't it? It's holding your pants up. Well, I want to share a word with you. You can have a seat. Thank you. You weren't going to do nothing. I wasn't going to tell you to get out and whoop nobody with it. Your belt for the Roman soldier held it all together. There's something, and I'm coming good with this. There was something about the belt, and I'm going to open this up a little bit, is that the belt had a notch that I could rest my shield on. Just like my microphone transmitter is resting on the loop of this belt, it held it so I didn't always have to hold the shield. I could rest it on the belt. Then there was this loop that your sword of the Spirit would be in, so you don't have to do, you had the sword, you had the shield, you had all this armor where I could keep my sword in this little notch, and it was held together. Then there is this. Remember I talked about the breastplate? The breastplate went over your head, covered your back and your front, and it went over, and the belt covered it so that your breastplate didn't flap all out of place. It held everything together. So when I actually went out to battle as a soldier, my shield could rest, my lance could lean against side of it, my sword was tucked in, and it kept me from my breastplate from opening up. So when I went out there, it was the belt that actually was the most important piece. Without it, I couldn't use my sword. Without it, I wouldn't be able. Where would my shield of faith get? And so the Lord began to deal with me on this because this is the important part of what I'm being now. In the battle you're in, you actually are going to need the word of God. Now, how many remember me talking about your sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God? And that was called Rhema. Your belt of truth is called Logos. Logos holds everything together. Your logos, the logos is God's written word that is forever established, and it's the logos that holds everything. Everything was established by the word of God. And one thing I learned, that you could not have a rhema if it wasn't connected to the logos. You couldn't use a sword if it wasn't connected to the belt. There was a notch that held the sword. And so when the enemy came at and you wanted to use a sword, I had my logos, but what do I need to defeat this one giant? David came in the name of the Lord, but he also needed a weapon to take out Goliath. So he had God with him, but when he got to that place, he needed a slingshot and a stone. You need a sword of the Spirit. So when I get to the place of a battle, I pull out the sword, but I'm coming in the word of God. Does that make sense today?
And so the belt now represents the logos of God, that everything now that you need comes from logos. Get the point? Everything now from today beyond, I reach in and my sword came from the word of God. My shield of faith came from the word of God. I'm held together by the word of God. It is the belt that holds your marriages, your children, your job, your finances. It holds it together. And as long as you got the logos of God, you actually now are a candidate for Rhema. Let me say it again. When you got the belt or the logos of God around you, you are ready for any potential battle. Because the belt now prepared you for everything else to rest upon. So now when the enemy comes in and he heralds an accusation at you, Brother Pete, like he's trying to take you out, because I came to job to work today with my shield on my truth. You get the point? My shield resting on truth. My faith resting on truth. When the accusation comes at me, are you hearing me today? When now it's time for me to stand up and fight back. Okay, you done messed with me long enough. God says, okay, I'm going to reach into my logos and I'm going to release a rhema for you. That's it, devil. I done shielded and defended all your fiery darts. How many know after you have taken all the pounding, it's my time now. This is where you pull out your sword. Where did it come from? It came from the logos. You cannot defeat the devil or defend against the wicked one without logos. If you don't know your Bible, what can you stand up and say to the devil that he don't already know? See, but what he don't understand is the rhema that comes from what he's supposed to know. I didn't think they could know that. I didn't know they could use that. Where did that come from? Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Man, I forgot about that one. You understand what I'm saying? You now are surprising the enemy with what you know from the logos of God. And so if you don't have a belt today, the first thing you need to do is get truth in your life. That's the word of God. How do I get truth? Get away from liars. Get away from anyone that's speaking negative. Get away from those that are trying to find Christianity in the wrong places. Stand up with me. I'm going to close here. I want to pray as I close. I'm going to stop. I'm going to give you a word the Lord showed me here. You ready for this? When your leader, your parent, your employer becomes your opposition, you are fighting a wrong battle. You cannot win. Why? I can't change who my parents are, good or bad, right or wrong. But I can change myself and win the battle in my mind. Anyone ever got mad at your boss before? But you still got to go to work there. So you can get mad all you want. You still want to go to work and earn your money, don't you? How many parents do I have here today? Where did you have your parent? All right. Have your child ever got mad at you before? Why are you laughing? You saying they're mad at you right now because you made them come to church? You said they're mad at you right now because you made them put on the clothes that you wanted them to wear, not what they wanted to wear? You made them give them your phone before you stepped into the sanctuary. Is that why they're mad at you? Congratulations, parent. You're a real parent. But let me ask you a question, children. Can you change who your parents are? Then why are you frustrated? You're going to be mad at them for the rest of your life? You can't change nothing, right? So you're going to get over it, right? Say, I'm going to get over it. Now, man, pray in the spirit for me. Everyone pray in the spirit. Something just tried to hit me that wasn't right. Come on, I need somebody to pray in the spirit right now. I felt the enemy try to herald something at me. Come on. I need somebody to pray in the spirit. I need some real warriors now to stand in the four corners of this place and pray in the spirit. Come on. I need you to cover the walls in the spirit right now. Come on, cover them right now. Cover them. Let's release that sound in the atmosphere. Come on, release that thing. Yeah. Pray in the spirit right now. I need the holy warriors to go forth, because I feel like I'm getting ready to be ground through someone's mind. Because the next words are going to trigger something that's going to produce freedom. Come on. If you know how to pray, just pray. If you don't know how to pray, just get in the realm of prayer and be around those. There are many, many accusations and things that are heralding in this atmosphere, and it's been designed to try to stop what God is doing. You have to understand, the first attack comes in me. Now I'm asking you to cover this place in yourself. Because I'm getting ready to go in with the Makata, and I'm getting ready to gut the enemy and bring you out. I said I'm getting ready to gut the enemy and bring you out. I want to put you on notice that it's going to be challenged. In the face of war, God said, come and pull some of you out now. Because you fought a good fight. You kept the faith. It's not that you're getting ready to die, but God said it's time now to move on. And the enemy wants you to stay in this fight and wrestle, and he wants to herald this stuff at you, and he wants to try to silence, he wants to try to stop, he wants to try to prevent, he wants to try to distort, he wants to cause the spirit of offense. I'm going to say it again. He wants someone to leave offended. Offense. Offense. I talked about the word unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, rage. I talked about those things. And the enemy wants to grip that heart and those emotions so we don't let you go. But I'm walking through just to let you know that as I walk through, all of you are going to be free from whatever. There are times when God will allow me to walk into the realm of the supernatural and see things that I don't really want to see. But he allows me to see them, not to come out and convict and condemn, but to come out and to bring you out too. And I want to tell you as I'm finished, that when I was talking about the mind, when I was dealing with the heart, I had so many things hit me and painful while I was preaching, you didn't even know. I woke up this morning feeling fine. But I understand what goes on when I preach a message that's designed for someone while I'm getting pounded, pounded, pounded. That's why I said I got my shield. But I'm tired of just holding a shield. I'm pulling out my Makata now. So, would you please get my small sword? I don't need the long one today. I want to do the quickest damage now. Come on, say, I'm going to do damage now. How many are ready to shout for joy? See, it's not about fussing at the enemy. I ain't got time to talk to him. What I'm trying to do is show you your mind and your heart is secure, and I got faith. And I'm coming in with my Makata, and I'm getting ready to do a gut check for the enemy. I'm throwing her in there. I'm getting up close. I'm pulling you out. All right. I'm just waiting for my sword. I want you to pray in the spirit, because we're getting ready to be rejoicing in this place in about 2 minutes.
like that the tip goes up. Like go in, I can turn it, and it can cut both ways, and I can bring some guts out. Who here needs a Makata to go in and do some gut work on the enemy today? Because I'm going in for you, and I want to gut it. All right? Paul said that taking to you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so here is the word of God, but representing the word of God is a natural sword that if we want to use today to go in and we want to say, devil, we have defended arrows, but it's enough of defending the arrows and the darts. It's time to fight back. You hear me today? How many of you have felt like you've defended enough? It's time now to get on the offense. Now, see, I got another one. I'm going to bring that one out. But I can bring out my lens, and I can have two of them right here. And I can herald, but I don't even want to herald today. I want to up close. I want to come right in the devil's camp and say, you know what? I've got the right shoes on today. You follow what I'm saying? And so how many of you are tired of just defending yourself? It's time to now to be on the offense and take care of yourself. Which means now is you go in and God says, I give you permission to use my word. Come on, say, I have permission to use God's word. And I'm going to use it right now. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to act like you're a soldier today. Act like you got a sword right here. And it's just hanging there. I know you don't got a loop, but it's just hanging there. And all of a sudden, here comes the enemy, and your mind is right. And you say, you know what, first of all, say, I don't believe that. Now, put your hand on your heart and say, I'm the righteousness of God. I believe you, God. I sought your face, God. I got my lance, God. And I'm not running, Lord. My belt is on, and I got my shoes on. I'm ready to fight. Now, if you're ready to fight, I want you to get a stance. Some kind of stance. You know, you might want to be like this. Just get you a stance. All right? And on the count of three, I want you to pull your Makata out, and I want you to gut the enemy. All right? What it means to gut the enemy, you up, and you turn it, and you come out. All right? Which means now I'm going down, I'm cutting you both ways, and I'm coming out, and you're going to die. I'm gutting you. I am eliminating you once and for all. God's giving me permission. You ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Come on, do that again. Turn it out. Come on, in again. Turn it out. In again. Turn it out. In. Turn out. Come on. In. Turn out. Come on, come on. In. Turn out. Do it again. In. Turn out. Come on. In. Turn out. Come on again. In. Turn out. Yeah. What you just did, God gave you permission to get on the offense with the word. How many got the word today? Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Now, with the heart, man believeth unto salvation. But it's with the mouth that confession is made. So I want to know today, how many want to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus? If you are saved today, let's make a confession. Let's believe God unto salvation, but let's